welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. This is your Blasphemous Pope, Harry, and today is Sermon 10, Pumped Up Kicks. If you are familiar with that late 90s, early 2000s hit, then you know what this podcast is going to be about. So there's that. We will get back into the podcast after we deal with these housekeeping notes. First and foremost, I want to talk about the Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast. Okay, so we have Donna Van Meter, Amy Lynn Russell, Vincent Easley, We Trade Free, London Gardens, and Mike Witt and Christy Caruana. I want to highlight specifically Star O'Hara, one of our Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast. She has just recently released a new book. I did mention it last week, but I've since gotten my hands on the book, and I am currently giving it a read, and I do have to say that she is laying out the message she wants to deliver quite succinctly, and once I'm done reading it, I will give it a full review, absolutely. Now, with that being said, let's get to the other housekeeping notes. There will be links and other useful information attached to the website, which will be linked in the description, as well as a link to Star O'Hara's book if you want to order that. The website, my website, is harryfelker.wordpress.com. I have other projects going on at the same time. I'm growing some food here hydroponically, and I have a composting situation going on outside on my balcony. You can see those types of things over on my TikTok and other social media. Sorry, my cat was being a jerk. You can see those things on my social media more so than you would be hearing about them here, just because of the video evidence that I can give there. This podcast is listener supported and supported by ads, and if ads are not your thing, I am sorry, but I gotta generate some money in order to help fund these projects. I am not a rich man. But if you want to become a Friend of the Blasphemous Pope, well, the way to do that is by becoming a listener supporter for as little as 99 cents a month. For less than a dollar, you can help a starving podcaster pay for some of these projects to continue on to more interesting projects as well. With the housekeeping done, we are ready to get into Sermon 10, Pumped Up Kicks. So, as I said, if you are familiar with the song, you know what this is about. It's not specifically about school shootings. It's about mass shootings in total, but I do give school shootings a little special attention towards the end of this. So, do keep that in mind. Now, I'm going to be using scare quotes that you can't see. Mass shooting epidemic. We have to really look at these words, because they are used very differently by very different people. According to the Department of Justice, a mass shooting is four or more victims murdered with a firearm in a single incident or one event. Now, some other people would like to define that as four or more people killed or injured, meaning that if someone trips and falls while running away from the person shooting somebody else, that, you know, if they sustain an injury that requires, you know, medical intervention, that is an injured party. And the difference here, and I want you to understand this, is purely political. Anybody willing to open up the definition of a mass shooting to include people who are not actually shot, well, they have an agenda. They are trying to sell something, and you should keep in mind who is saying those types of things, because you're the person they're trying to sell stuff to, and it's not necessarily a good thing. That being said, we will be coming back after a short ad break, we'll be talking about how prevalent mass shootings are, and the misinformation surrounding mass shootings. I hope to see you when we come back. Bye-bye. Thank you for coming back after that ad break. All right, so how prevalent are actual mass shootings? It seems as if we can't go a day without hearing about one, and that brings an illusion that mass shootings are happening a lot more often than they actually are. You'll hear a lot of politicians, you'll hear a lot of media representatives say things like, you know, there were 200 mass shootings already in 2022, and that is not true. Specifically, we can look at what happened in Indiana just a little while ago. That technically, according to the Department of Justice definition for a mass shooting, wasn't even a mass shooting. And there is a reason why certain politicians and members of the media are more than happy to call things mass shootings when it's really not. The other thing is you hear a lot of statistics, and we have to understand that most politicians and almost all media uses statistics to lie, to specifically misinform the public on the dangers of what goes on around you. I do believe I have mentioned that media sells fear in previous sermons. This is no different. Generating the overall fear of living is what they do. So we have to understand that everything has to be taken with an air of scrutiny. These people are very loose with their facts, and they utilize statistical analysis to make claims that are patently untrue. So what I would like to talk about right now, as far as that's concerned, is the airplane crash syndrome. Whenever we hear about an airplane crash, we hear about all of the people who died and how the plane fell out of the sky and there were no survivors and it was a giant tragedy. And it is. It is a tragedy when people die. I am not here to say that, yay, people are dead. No, that's not the case. Rather, I would like to make sure that everybody knows that plane crashes are extremely rare. And when they do happen, because of the loss of life that happens in a single plane crash, it is sensationalized by the media. And many people eat it up, even to the point of developing an irrational fear of flying. And that is the reality behind most things that the media pays attention to, especially when we are talking about gun violence in the United States. I can't stress this enough. So why the misinformation? This is very related to Jim Crow. This type of misinformation was used to push laws through post-Civil War, known as the Jim Crow laws. If you are unfamiliar with that, I would suggest you look it up and look at how horrible the government has actually been in the past. Most, if not all, gun laws harken back to Jim Crow. The powers at be saw the effects of Jim Crow on the African American community in the United States and decided that that would be a good thing for them if everybody was subject to it. circa like the 1960s, I believe, is when it really started going full swing ahead on everybody. Maybe 1970s. Don't quote me on that one. What this is the 13th Amendment effect. Now, everyone who knows anything about the Civil War knows the 13th Amendment was the amendment that says it's illegal to have slaves. It doesn't say that at all. It says it's illegal for you and I and other people to own slaves. What it also says in the 13th Amendment is that if you are convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor, because it's any crime, that you are subject to being a slave via the government. And we see that in our prison industrial complex. So again, be wary of those who are looking to curb rights. We'll be back shortly. Okay, welcome back. Thank you for coming back after that short break. And I want to take a quick step back to what we were talking about before the break. And I apologize for that. The 13th Amendment effect. We have to understand something, that the 13th Amendment effect gives the illusion that slavery has ended in the United States. But what has actually happened is private slavery has ended, while slavery in service to the United States government or the state governments via the prison system is still very much a thing. It is even specifically mentioned in the amendment that that is the exception to slavery not being allowed in the United States. So with that being said, slavery has not ended in the United States, just individual ownership of slaves. And I don't think anybody, including the government, should have slaves. Any right that the government has to come from the people, and the people have to have that right first. And I firmly believe that people do not have the right to own other people. I think I'm not alone here, but call me crazy. So why then? What is the political agenda behind dragging laws from affecting people of color, specifically, to the entire population? Well, it is mostly about population management. It is easier to manage a population that you have under your thumb than it is to manage a population full of free people. It's sort of like what they say about libertarians. What is it like to have a group of libertarians? Well, it's like herding cats. Well, what is it like to have a group of people who are well armed and educated and able to resist the government? Well, it's like trying to herd cats, because you can't really control them. All you can really do is hope for the best. So the idea is to get rid of the means of defense. And though I'll be going over education in another sermon, also poisoning that well as well, you know. So what does that do? It forms a population dependent on the services provided by the state. The state provides your defense for you. It has its police officers that are supposed to be your defense in the event of a crime. And I'm using all these scare quotes for all of these statements I'm making, because the state has actually come to a decision that it's not the police officer's job description to help save your life. So let's be clear here. They're even failing at the thing that they're supposed to do if they were going to do it anyway. So a disarmed population is dependent on the government for its personal defense. And that is a methodology for control, because, well, then you just take the service you're providing the unarmed population, their defense. You take that away, and they'll do whatever, you know, they can. It's sort of the same thing with the food that I've been talking about in the meditations. You take the food away from a population, it's very easy to control the population. Well, if you take their security away from them as well, you know, their ability to secure themselves and the security that you'd be providing in lieu of them not having that, well, then it's easy to control which way the wind blows. Now, mass shootings are on the rise. That is a true statement. There are more mass shootings now than there were in any stretch of time. Like in the last 25 years, there's been more mass shootings than at any stretch of time before that. And there are effective differences. We have to understand that. We have a very divisive culture in this country, and we've always had a divisive culture. It was very race orientated way back in the day, and it has been nationally orientated previously. But the problem is with this divisive culture is that it is so rampant now that it is allowing for open dehumanization of people, and that is a problem. Another vast difference between the last 25 years and any point in time before that is, since the last 25 years, the United States has become one of the biggest users of psychotropic medications. When we come back, we are going to be continuing this line of thought, and we are going to be talking about more potential, more political than ever. Welcome back. I do apologize for these breaks, but I feel that they are important. So what we were talking about, medications, and the United States has become one of the most medicated countries as far as the use of psychotropic drugs, and it's an important thing to note that this did not happen more than 25 years ago. This has been since the last 25 years, and we will be getting a little more in depth in that later. But the whole thing is this has become much more political than ever, this whole entire subject of mass shootings. There's a lot of fear politics and fear media that is going hand in hand. Like I had said before, you know, misusing or misrepresenting facts with deceptive statistics. These tactics are obvious. It's anyone who has half of a brain in their head can see that though these incidences are tragedies and they should never happen, let me be clear about that. Mass shootings are tragedies that should never happen in a good and just world, but that is not the world we live in now, is it, folks? But these obvious tactics preying on people's fears that some unknown boogeyman is going to come around the corner with a large scary gun and fire into a crowd of people is the act of never letting a tragedy go to waste. And I think that is more encouraging of having more mass shootings than me saying that what is being done is probably not only ineffective, but also supportive of more mass shootings happening. It makes sense politically if you're looking to disarm a population to make sure that there is as many mass shootings as possible to get as much popular support of removing guns from people as possible. So what is the root of the issue of mass shootings? Well, we can start with policy. The United States has some very restrictive policy regarding guns and gun ownership and where you can carry guns. most people who don't own firearms are completely unaware of how restrictive the United States gun policy is. I will let you know that me personally, as a convicted felon I was convicted of a felony in New York. I am on the NICS database, which restricts me from owning firearms, even though I don't live in New York anymore. The NICS database is a federal database that when you run a background check, that's who checks it. And if you are on that database, you are immediately rejected from owning firearms. So that is one policy that people are completely unaware of, that most people who would complain about being able to get guns, well, they can't pass a NICS database check, so they can't get guns, and they don't even know it. So what are these policies? Gun-free zones. Whether it's a legal gun-free zone like a school, or a business choice of being a gun-free zone like a mall, cue Indiana, it offers an increased opportunity for a mass shooter to stack up enough bodies that they become a notable person. Whether that is their purpose behind the mass shooting, or they're using the mass shooting to disguise a personal vendetta, which doesn't really make sense to me, but you know, what have you. The reason for there being a low incidence of good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun rate is these gun-free zones, because good guys with guns, they do things like, you know, not take their guns in places where their guns are not welcome on the normal circumstances. And that is a very important point to make, because a lot of people like to use the, well, there's no, why wasn't there a good guy with a gun if there's so many good guys with guns? Well, that's because your laws that you pass and businesses pass policies that tell people to voluntarily disarm themselves while they're in that area. Well, that's where those shootings happen more times than not. When we talk back, we're going to be talking about firearms restrictions in the United States. Welcome back. All right, so there is a myth of gun freedom in the United States, mostly perpetuated by the Democrat Party and their progressive, more progressive members as well, and those who are left the Democrat Party behind to be even more left than that. That you can just walk into a store and purchase a gun, and it takes 20 minutes. And I have perpetually challenged people. I was like, well, then why don't you go do that? Why don't you go into a store, prove it to the world, record. They will literally allow you to give them the gun back and refund your purchase. Go to any store, any pawn shop where you can purchase a firearm and purchase one. Just go in there, say, I want this handgun. I want this AR-15. I want this AK-47. And I have the cash for it. And walk up there, purchase the gun, and walk right out the door. That is physically impossible in the United States. Impossible. Because that is against the federal firearms regulations in the United States. They do require a background check in order to purchase. The only guns you can possibly get away with this are shotguns and generally not considered assault rifles. So hunting rifles, which... granted, aren't any technically less dangerous, but, you know, you guys want to attach yourselves to this word assault rifle like it actually means something. So, there's that. There is also a large database of people who are disallowed from owning firearms. And, for the record, a lot of the mass shootings that have happened over the last 10 years or so are people who should have been on the NICS database, specifically because of the... their history, just like my history has me on the Knicks database, despite the fact that I have been squeaky clean since, you know, that it happened. That being said, restrictions also add to the low incidence of CCW holders, because there are places in this country where the states have taken charge of further restricting guns beyond the federal law, and they make it so that your concealed carry owners, your open carry owners, are very tightly selected, in as much as it is very rare that you will find someone who is legally allowed to carry a firearm anywhere in most places in the United States, regardless of whether or not it's a gun-free zone. Now, the other thing is the people who are unjustly barred from owning firearms because they are still considered humans, therefore they have human rights, are potentially good guys with guns, you know, and that also eats into that number as well. Even if they are good guys who decided to do a bad thing and own guns anyway, they are not going to go shooting mass shooters because they don't want to get arrested for owning a gun. Another issue that we really should talk about is pharmaceuticals. I did make mention of this before, but over the last 20 years, there's been a 22% increase in the psychotropic medication, so much so that one out of five adults is currently taking psychotropic medication. This is according to the APA, or the American Psychological Association, APA.org, their article, Inappropriate Prescribing. So if you want backup, there you go. I've got a site for you. Even the NIH, the U.S. government, has made the statement that about 50% of the people who are prescribed psychotropic medication don't meet the required criteria for receiving psychotropic medication. Though, on the same exact article from the NIH, they still suggest an increase in treatment. Just in case you were wondering, these people shouldn't be on psychotropic medication, but keep giving it to them. That's the government's answer, by the way. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about in this next segment is sort of a tinfoil moment. That's what I'm going to be leading with in the next segment. So I want you to understand something, that when I say things that are stretching what is commonly understood as reality, I do always require proof before I say something. So there is proof to what I am about to say. I will see you when we come back. And get your tinfoil hat. Welcome back, and this is going to be the final segment. I know I'm running long, but I feel that this is worth it. Okay, so the tinfoil hat moment. I want you to understand that declassified and admitted to behavior by the CIA and FBI is stuff I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about MKUltra and Project Gladio, and this is going to be really super short because they literally said this is what we did. All right, and to assume that because they're saying that's what they did, that they are not continuing to use the techniques that they learned is kind of naive. There's ample evidence, admitted evidence, that the CIA has manipulated people, populations. And there's evidence that the FBI has been more than aware of this, especially since We hear these words over and over again. The suspect was known to us, the FBI, regarding every mass shooter that's happened this year so far, and a lot of other ones. And we have to understand that this is covering up for grooming the patsy. as far as how it looks from the outside. If I were on the outside looking in, I'd be like, they're grooming a patsy. That's the guy they groomed, and that's the reason why this happened. It's them. All right, now we're going to set that aside, and we're going to talk about what can be done about the situation. First and foremost, disobey. Our entire judicial legal system is built around telling the government, no, your laws are wrong. Okay? I will quote Heinlein here. I am free no matter what rules surround me. If I find them tolerable, I tolerate them. If I find them too obnoxious, I break them. This is a summation of what would be considered American spirit, really. The fact of the matter is, you know, as long as you're not hurting other people and you're not causing damage to people or their property, you generally, there shouldn't be any laws around. There should be no victimless crimes in the United States, but here we are today. The perfect examples of this is the young man who stopped the Indiana mall shooter. He broke the corporate regulation behind the mall of no guns on our property in order to stop the shooter. And to be completely fair, it would have been a lot worse if he had not been there. And there's another thing we need to understand, that self-defense and the tools thereof are inalienable human rights. That means that the government can't just arbitrarily take them away from people. That makes them second-class citizens. As the kids would say nowadays, stay strapped or get clapped. That's the reality of the world that we live in. It's not the reality of America, it's the reality of the world. If you are not able to defend yourself, you are subject to tyrants as well as petty tyrants in the form of criminals. So what else can we do? We can be more hands-on. We can be more hands-on with our children, raising them. We can be more involved in our communities, in our families. And most importantly, harkening back to the psychiatric medication part, never administer psych meds to anybody without getting various opinions, getting second, third, fourth opinions, and then making an informed decision. It is painfully obvious that this is a piece of that puzzle and it needs to be addressed. Furthermore, you could get your kids out of government schools. I am not saying public schools because they are not public schools. They are not run by the public, run for the public. They are not in any way, shape, or form public schools. They are government schools. They are run by the government, they are for the government, and they are for making children into obedient little automatons. And that's it. Schools indoctrinate, they don't educate. And that's the way it is. The options there, you can homeschool. There are many resources and they will be on my website, harryfelker.wordpress.com, in the article titled Pumped Up Kicks, Sermon 10 Pumped Up Kicks. But the thing to remember here is that kids that are not in school are not victims of school shootings. And Olvade is a textbook example of how the police are going to fail you if they feel their lives are in danger. I want to thank everybody for coming by. I want to hope to see you guys next week. And stay safe out there.